All Arizona Daily Download.
The top five local stories of the day.
Now.
Five. The nation mourns John McCain.
After Arizona sent John McCain off in what I thought was just a fantastic memorial service yesterday, just a beautiful service, his body left at 12:46, got to D.C. He is lying in state. John McCain arrived at the U.S. Capitol on Friday morning. This morning, 2 days of national tributes. McCain's wife, Cindy, and other members of the family watched from the steps of the East Plaza as his casket was carried into the Capitol, where he served for more than 30 years. Vice President Mike Pence, who greeted McCain's 106-year-old mom, Mother Roberta, ahead of the service, was among those to speak and said, on behalf of a grateful nation, we will ever remember that John McCain served his country and John McCain served his country honorably.
In every generation, there are those who put country first, who prize service ahead of self, who summon idealism from a cynical age. John McCain was such a man.
Mac, I don't know that you could do better than what Arizona did for John McCain over the last couple of days.
I agree.
But I have no doubt that Washington, D.C. is going to give a fitting tribute. I mean, a send-off isn't the right word, but a fitting tribute memorial to the senator as well over the next couple days.
Barack Obama, George W. Bush, among those who will speak at John McCain's memorial service tomorrow at the National Cathedral.
Four.
Death toll in bus crash rises.
Yeah, this happened yesterday, and we're learning more. At least 8 people were killed, more injured, after a Phoenix-bound commercial passenger bus and a semi-tractor trailer crashed along Interstate 40 in New Mexico near the Arizona border. And now what they're saying is that it was maybe because of a blown tire that basically sent this semi-truck crashing into the commercial passenger bus. And it just, I mean, the pictures just look horrific.
Yeah, if you've seen a picture, the front third of the bus, the side of it's just gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not there, and there are pieces of the bus lying all over the road. It's tragic that 8 people lost their lives, but this could have been far worse, too.
Yeah, you're right. The driver of the semi-truck sustained non-life-threatening injuries in the crash. The wreckage included the Greyhound bus, front-end damage, a semi-truck that was on its side, cargo strewn across the highway and the median. Again, you just look at this, and like you said, Lloyd, it could have been a lot worse, but of course NTSB will figure out why did the tire blow, what happened, was it truly an accident, could this have been prevented?
Well, and if a tire did blow, I mean, buses obviously have, you know, several tires. How did the whole front third of the bus go? Like, did the driver not hit the brakes and slow down when this first happened?
Three.
The number three story on the All Arizona Daily Download. Fall won't be dry.
Now, we know the monsoon season has been really windy in many parts of the valley, very wet, very rainy. But the National Weather Service says they're predicting above average levels of precipitation for Arizona and the Southwest this fall. 40% chance of above normal precip for Arizona and surrounding regions. That's a good thing.
Oh, it's a great thing. And it's really my favorite time of year, too, because the rain doesn't come in 20 minutes with the fierce lightning. It's more of an all day, and you can walk outside
in it. It's a soaking rain.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't go up on the roof and, you know, take the pictures and do that sort of thing. But you can go outside and you can still get around town. It's not that, oh my goodness, you need to pull over, don't drive in a wash. It's not one of those rains. It's more gentle, Mac.
Yeah, and actually, again, Arizona, there are certain parts of Arizona that are in extreme drought and drought situations. That's always a good thing.
We can't get enough of it.
Yeah, we cannot get enough rain, which supplies the aquifers, which supplies, you know, water for all of Arizona. But what I like, too, is what you said, Lloyd. You don't have to panic and, you know, run outside, make sure everything's off the pool deck or outside. You know, it's going
to
be blown around.
You're not going to have to pick up your tree the next day
from the front
lawn.
Right, exactly.
There won't be the lightning shots.
No,
but
that's
at the
true.
End of the day, everything will be much calmer.
Right.
Phoenix City Council moves to kill light rail.
Yeah, the Phoenix City Council took a big first step to postpone or possibly kill future light rail projects. The voters in the Phoenix City Council approved of a $30 billion plus transportation plan in 2015 to fund bus service, light rail construction, and street improvements. Well, some council members have complained that too much money's gone to public transportation as the city's as the city streets crumble. We've talked about how, you know, from the beginning, I've always thought that light rail was a boondoggle. I've lived in three different cities where light rail was supposed to be this wonderful expansion using existing tracks, and nobody was going to be hurt by it. It was going to be a slight inconvenience. It does not make money. It costs more money to run than it does than makes money. Business, some businesses do not recover. And now what you're seeing, especially in South and South Central Phoenix, is some neighborhoods, they don't want it.
I've liked it the few times I've ridden on it, but I'll say it's not always the most pleasurable experience. I've seen fights on it. I haven't always felt 100% safe. But if I need to get downtown and I don't want to drive down there to park, I've appreciated some of the benefits of it, but not to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars.
The city staff examined what options the city has to expedite the service schedule for much-needed street and road surfacing and repairs, so light rail may be dead.
One.
Invest in Ed is dead.
Yeah, another surprising thing came out this week. The Arizona Supreme Court barred a ballot proposal seeking to raise income taxes on the wealthy to fund schools from appearing on the November ballot. And now teachers are angry. The Red for Ed movement is angry. But I would caution you, be very careful, because you may be angry now, but if this thing was allowed to go onto the ballot, were you guaranteed it was going to pass? Not the way it was written.
Well, and where are you going to direct your anger to? Should it be directed at the governor, or should it be directed at the people who drafted this bill?
Right.
Because what the Arizona Chamber of Commerce is saying is that the drafters botched how they came up with it. Basically, there would have been over $1 billion of increased taxes for all Arizona workers over the next decade. That's certainly not something that I knew about.
That's not the 1%.
No. And then also, they're saying in here, too, that they grossly understated the increase that it would mean in tax rates for a lot of individuals and over 40,000 small businesses.
That's why I say you knew it wouldn't pass this time around, because the stuff that would have come out about it. So it's better, in my opinion, it's better that the Arizona Supreme Court removed it. Get your stuff together and plan for, exactly, get it right for next year instead of having it fail miserably, because once this came out, this was dead on arrival.
The All Arizona Daily Download, the top five local stories of the day with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The All Arizona Daily Download brought to you by Inspire Sleep. If CPAP isn't working for you, learn about Inspire, a revolutionary treatment for sleep apnea. No mask, no hose, and no noise. Go to inspiresleep.com today. Lloyd is in for Gatos. Gatos has the day off. Coming up, Senator John McCain's body lies in state at our nation's capital, and we'll take you live to Washington, D.C. next, where we'll talk to Fox 10's John Hook. He is in D.C., and he is at these ceremonies. We'll take you there.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Yesterday, Arizona said goodbye to Senator John McCain for the last time. His body is lying in state in Washington, D.C. right now. And he will be buried at the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland on Sunday. John Hook from Fox 10 is in Washington, D.C. He's the anchor of 4, 5, and 9 o'clock newscasts on Fox 10. John, how are you, and what is D.C. like? What is the mood there with Senator John McCain's body lying in state?
Well, good to talk to you, Mac and Lloyd, as always. It's an interesting time here in D.C. I keep thinking back on John McCain's career, and really, yes, he was a senator from Arizona, but this was home for him. Washington, D.C. was where John McCain spent the majority of his time. He went to high school here in Virginia, not far from the Capitol. He became the Navy Senate liaison after his time as a POW when he was released and came back from Vietnam. And that's where I think he first got his inclination to run for office, frankly, was hanging around a lot of politicians and thinking, you know what, I can do this job, no doubt about it. And then he moves to Arizona, and he becomes first a congressman and then a U.S. senator, and 35 years of service from Arizona. But most of that time, guys, spent here, frankly, in Washington. He was a creature of Washington. So it's fitting that this is where the goodbyes are said. And, you know, this that we're seeing today when he lies in state, This is a tribute, frankly, reserved for presidents. Think of that. And we've only had 13 senators in the history of the nation honored in this way. And it's a remarkable thing that, that the nation is showing this kind of respect to Arizona's senator.
You know, John, I wonder, though, if Arizona, well, I shouldn't say if, but Arizona really gave him a wonderfully powerful send-off to the senator. But D.C. is different now. D.C., I was so struck yesterday by what Joe Biden said when he told the story in 1996, when he and John McCain would sit together at their, you know, after the caucuses or whatever, the caucus lunch, and they were told, hey, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good for you two to sit together because you're on opposite sides of the aisle. And he said that's when it started, and that's when Congress started changing, and it's gotten so petty and so partisan. I just wonder, are we going to... Is it going to be restrained in D.C.? Are Democrats going to shy away? Are people not going to speak the way they should or the way they want because it's so partisan and because of what Donald Trump and what the president has said about John McCain and that overall tone?
I don't think the tone will change one iota with John McCain's passing. I think it will cause everyone to reflect and think about a better way to do things. But remember, John McCain... He battled himself. I mean, he battled within his own party.
Oh, yeah.
This is politics. And, you know, we talk about never before so divided. I would submit during the Civil War that was far worse. So we have been more divided than this before, believe it or not, if you look back historically. There are times, and certainly during the 60s, where it was really ugly. Maybe not in the political realm as much as just the national divide over the Vietnam War. But my point is, I don't think that this changes the level of rancor in Washington, D.C. John McCain's passing will cause everybody to think and pause and reflect. But I think, sadly, when he is put to rest,
it'll be business
on Sunday,
as usual on
Naval,
Monday.
Yes, I think that's exactly what happens. Mm.
Talking with John Hook, he anchors the 4, 5, and 9 o'clock newscasts here at Fox 10. John, for the past year, the McCain family, they've been very private. Now we're seeing several public ceremonies, obviously the ones that played out here in Phoenix and what we're starting to see in D.C. and what we'll see more of tomorrow. Do you get a sense that that's what the senator and the family wanted? Or does it come off more to you like this is what the family or the senator feel that they owe to the public?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I had not thought of it that way. I really believe, and we know now for a fact, that John McCain was intimately involved in planning all of this.
Sure.
Think about back in April. Now, he is just maybe 6 months into his diagnosis at that point. He is calling Barack Obama and George W. Bush to reach out to them, asking them to speak and eulogize him at his funeral. Mm-hmm. John McCain was on the clock, and he knew it. He'd seen it with his friend Ted Kennedy, who died from glioblastoma. He'd seen it in Joe Biden's son, Beau, who died of the exact same cancer. John McCain was a realist. He knew what he was up against, and he started making plans, and this is what we are seeing unfolding this week.
But at the same time, I would say that while all of that was going on, the only glimpses of the senator we would see would be from a Twitter picture or an Instagram picture from a hike with Meghan. There wasn't a lot of public interviews taking place. That largely stopped about a year ago.
No doubt. They kept this thing so close to the vest. And I think John McCain was failing. I mean, I have some inside knowledge that even a month ago, someone visited him and was not certain that John McCain was aware that he was there. So some of this is starting to trickle out. I think John McCain was in worse decline than we may have been led to believe. And so the stopping of treatment announcement that came on Friday, a week ago, I think that was really, it was a hint to all of us that he was in his final hours, and certainly that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we were not, and you know, this gets into a big public debate about how much should the public know about someone who represents them that they voted for. The family kept this very close circle, no doubt.
John Hook, Fox 10 News anchor. He anchors the 4, 5, and 9 o'clock newscasts. He is in D.C. for the next couple of days covering the, I guess, farewell memorial, the remembrance of Senator John McCain. Did you happen to see or did you happen to catch any of the memorial service yesterday, John, at the North Phoenix Baptist Church?
A little of it, actually, on replay, because we were in the air flying to D.C. during that time. So I caught, and obviously it was very emotional and really some great moments of levity as well, which I loved. And John McCain would have loved that, by the way.
Grant Wood's couldn't have been more perfect. It was just so, it was eloquent, it was funny, it was very, very poignant. And it just really brought out, I think, the best of what John McCain stood for and who he was as a man. In your estimation, what is John McCain going to be remembered for? Is it character? Is it honesty? Is it forthright? What do you think the word or the sentence is that John McCain's going to be remembered?
I think it's simply service to country. I asked John McCain this question years ago during an interview. I said, what do you want to be remembered for? What do you want on your tombstone? And he said, he served his country. That's what he told me at the time. And I think it was all about that. First, you know, through the Navy and serving this country in that capacity. And then later in serving, you know, two terms in Congress, five and a half in the U.S. Senate. I mean, that is a remarkable career. Think about this. Barry Goldwater, who has always been this Arizona icon, and John McCain takes his seat in 1986 when Barry Goldwater retires. And everyone at the time is thinking, how will Barry Goldwater ever be replaced? Well, of course, he's never going to be replaced.
Right.
But John McCain also has left his mark, an indelible mark, on the state of Arizona. And I know for a fact, even for people who don't like him and didn't agree with him politically, when you would travel outside of Arizona, people would say, oh, Arizona, I like McCain. You know, in some ways, he was more revered outside of Arizona than within Arizona. And I think that's the legacy. This guy became a national and international figure. Two runs for president. People who wondered if he could match up to Barry Goldwater, that's been answered this week.
John, you just mentioned Barry Goldwater, and obviously Doug Ducey has said that he's going to announce a pick after all the ceremonies wrap up this weekend. I saw news that Cindy McCain was going to visit the Senate, see Senator McCain's desk. Should we read anything into that, that maybe, you know, her taking a trip there and seeing his desk, you know, going to the Senate, does that give us any sort of hint, or is that just something that any widow would do?
I don't know. Doug Ducey's got a big, big decision on his hands.
Yeah.
And I think Cindy has certainly been in the conversation right from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And we've got a long history, by the way, in this country of spouses replacing sitting senators or congressmen who die in office. This is not an unusual concept. So the fact that Cindy McCain is being mentioned, whether Doug Ducey will go there, I don't know. I do think that the McCain family, Senator McCain and Cindy, will have played a big hand in whoever is chosen. And I think that whoever that is, we will know that John McCain probably gave his blessing to it.
John Hook is in D.C., Fox 10 News anchor, 4, 5, and 9 p.m. newscasts. John, thank you so much, and safe travels, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys, I always appreciate the time, and it is a great time to reflect on a passing that kind of marks a passage of time for all of us who've been here in Arizona a long time. A lot of people in our state don't know any other senator that has represented them than John McCain.
Very true. Well said. Thanks, John.
You got it, guys.
John McCain is, again, and it can't be understated, John McCain is a person that we're not going to see again in our lifetime, and that's just the way it is. They said the same thing about Barry Goldwater. Who will be the next senator from Arizona? I don't know. I mean, there are people out there who say maybe Cindy, maybe John Kyle. I know Gatos has mentioned the dark horse. It would be Jeff Flake. But they've got big shoes to fill for the time being, and then an election in 2020. But we will never see a man like John McCain in our lifetime, that is for sure. All right, Gatos has the day off. Lloyd is in for Gatos today. Coming up, after being cleared by the Scottsdale Police Department, why is the FBI investigating Mesa PD in a flurry of use of force incidents? Next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Gatos has the day off. Lloyd is sitting in for Gatos today. Coming up, we're not going to do the sounds of the week necessarily. We're going to do the sounds of John McCain as our last farewell, as the senator will be buried on Sunday in Annapolis, Maryland, on the in the Naval Academy, on the Naval Academy grounds, where he wanted to be buried along the Severn River. Earlier in the summer, there were what I would call a flurry or a spate, if you will, of videos that came out and basically was trying to either implicate or bring attention to, or a smear job, depending upon your point of view, of the Mesa Police Department and their excessive use of force. Are they using excessive use of force? Is their use of force necessary? Well, we found out that there was an incident with 33-year-old Robert Johnson. He was talking on his phone in a corridor as police approached and tell him to sit down against the wall. He did not follow instructions and instead leaned against the wall with the phone in his hand. The officers began to punch him in the head repeatedly, and several moved in to hold Johnson down. He was ultimately knocked unconscious, and it's hard to watch. Don't get me wrong. It is hard to watch this. Did the Mesa Police Department go too far? Well, after an investigation by a neighboring police department, the Scottsdale PD, they said no, not at all.
And this happened back at the end of May. Here's what some of that sounded like at the time.
Dude, no. Dude, they told you to sit down.
Just sit down, bro. Just sit down. Sit down, bro.
Sit down.
Bro, just sit down, bro.
And what's going on there is that suspect at the time, Robert Johnson, was with another individual. And as best I recall of the story,
it was like a breaking, like an ex was trying to break in.
It wasn't Robert Johnson. It was the other person who he was with was accused of trying to break into an ex-girlfriend's house or apartment at the time.
Yeah.
And Johnson was kind of walking around near an elevator and a ledge on like a third or fourth floor.
Right.
And he wouldn't simply sit down.
He wouldn't even acknowledge, I think, the cop. It looked like he couldn't be bothered
by the
cops.
He was on the phone, too.
Right.
And police kept wanting him to sit down. And officers at the time claimed that they could tell, based on their training, that he was tensing up.
And getting ready.
Preparing for a fight.
Right. So they attacked him almost like a bee swarm, almost like a swarm of bees. They attacked him and knocked him unconscious at one point. And you can tell he's unconscious and they still hit him. Well, now the FBI is going to investigate two incidents, one involving Robert Johnson. I know this sounds weird, but I'm glad. The one thing the police department, any police department needs is a good relationship with the community, and they need to be transparent.
Well, but Scottsdale's already looked into this.
Yes, but the problem I have is that Scottsdale, another police department to me, isn't as objective as, let's say, the FBI or another branch outside of the Valley's police departments. I'm not impugning or saying Scottsdale PD did anything wrong.
Right.
But I would want another investigative unit to look into this, just so the community, just so the people of Mesa know we have cops that are well-trained and know what to do here.
And I agree with you, but I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second, because I think you know as well as I do that the other side, not even necessarily Robert Johnson himself, his attorney, his close family and friends, but the other side of this, there are people out there who are always going to say the cops were looking to get into a fight with him, and nothing, no amount of investigating, whether it's another police department locally, the FBI, the DOJ, whoever it may be who looks into this, nothing would make them happy if they were cleared on every single level.
True. I just don't know, and I still don't have an answer to this. Is it just coincidental that we have the girl on the bus. We have the 89-year-old grandmother. We have Robert Johnson.
There was a teenager.
A teenager. There are a flurry of videos and use of force coming out of just one police department.
And some of those suspects definitely deserve to be taken to the ground. Robert Johnson was not complying. Did he deserve to be struck a number of times? I think the cops went a little too far. I think they had every right to take him down. Did they go about it the right way? That's what's in dispute to me. That teenager was accused of armed robbery at a Circle K, I believe, and cops just wanted to find the gun that they knew he had. Did they go about it the right way? That's the question there. You mentioned the 89-year-old grandmother. I'm with you. It seems odd. Why aren't we hearing these stories out of Phoenix, out of Chandler?
Different use of force.
It's all been Mesa.
Right. And yet, I of course, Gatto says, I side with the cops. The cops have done nothing wrong if you don't comply. Again, you don't want to lose the community's belief or confidence in you. And I just don't understand why you have to put an 89-year-old grandma on the ground. I don't understand why you have to keep beating a man after he's unconscious. I would like to know a little bit more. I'm not saying all cops are bad in Mesa. I'm not saying they're running a bad force. I want more answers rather than one police department, a neighboring police department here in the Valley saying, nope, nothing to see here. We're dropping all the charges.
And I don't think a slew of officers need to be fired. I think some retraining should occur. And we should go from there. But I don't believe that we have a police officer problem. We might have a training issue.
All right. Like I said, Lloyd is in for Gatos today. Coming up, we're going to take you back out to Washington, D.C. later in the show where John McCain lies in state in the nation's capital. Also, invest in Ed is dead. Is it because the poorly worded ballot measure just wasn't worded properly? Or does it come down to politics? We'll talk about that. Up next, though, gut check time.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. It's gut check time with Mac and Gatos.
All right, since Lloyd is in for Gatos, Lloyd, I have a gut check for you. I need your gut check on a story you have not seen.
Let's go.
All right. A woman named Mandy blames her friends and family for the cancellation of her dream wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And she has gone on social media in a tirade, and that has gone viral. Mandy said she wanted to spend $60,000 on her dream destination wedding, and she wanted her guests to foot the bill. So she put it out there on a Facebook post.
Well, her guests to foot the bill?
Our dream wedding amounts to $60,000, all included with flights to Aruba. All we ask is for a little help.
How many guests are we talking here? 60 grand.
From our friends and family to make it happen. We'd sacrifice so much and only ask each guest to come up with $1,500 each.
Whoa.
We talked to a few people who even promised us more to make our dream come true.
Huh.
Her fiancé suggested, why don't we just get married in Vegas instead of Aruba? It'll cost less money. She said, I laughed in his face, but he was dead serious. He wanted those cheap...
Oh, I thought she breathed fire.
He wanted those cheap, raggedy, filthy, blanking Vegas weddings. I mean, what the blank? Was he out of his mind?
Sounds like she was very accommodating.
Your gut check.
Uh-huh.
If you're this guy's, if you're this woman's fiancé, do you stick with her after all this?
Oh, no. No, no, no. I mean, maybe for a little while, because I'm not sure you can get away and stay alive at the same time. But when the running is good, you run, man.
Yeah, yeah. Better to know this now. I mean, she showed her true... If I had known Seville was going to, you know, buy a house without telling me and buy a Range Rover and hide it from me, I would have broken up with her. Yeah, I would have saved myself 5 years of hell in Texas. That's, by the way, is my new book coming out, Hell in 5 Years of Hell in Texas. I'm glad they didn't get married in order to learn this life lesson. Run, dude, and keep running.
Well, and there are couples out there who say, like, hey, we're going to get married in Turks and Caicos.
Yeah,
or,
destination
wedding. Exotic weddings. Location. Like, and hey, how about you help us with our honeymoon? And you can, you know, send us for a massage or do this or that. But I've never heard of, hey, we're inviting you, so now you can come up with a four-figure check for us to have a good time. Yeah, no, that guy needs to bolt.
Where would your dream wedding be?
It would be...
Tell me, like, in the where the Lions play or something like that. Don't tell me that some
kind of... Well, Mac, you know, I can really pull at the heartstrings of the ladies out there. Just say, wherever she wants.
Oh, gee.
Oh, yeah, Mac.
You don't have a dream destination?
No, I'm the guy.
All right.
I care much more about the woman. If I was...
Oh, I thought you were going to say I care much more about the food.
If I was going to pick the destination, Mac, it would be in the middle of gut check time here on Mac and Gato.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
Yes.
Your gut check, do you say I do?
Jeez. Mac and Gato's gut check.
All right, Mac, I know you're a big thrill seeker.
Yeah, that's me.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Max Force is a new launch roller coaster.
That was my DJ name back in Boise in 1999.
Max Force, with two X's or one?
One.
This one has two.
Good for him.
So, Six Flags Great America is going to be launching the new roller coaster in 2019. It's going to feature the fastest inversion, highest double inversion.
And what is it? It's a roller coaster?
Yes. It's a triple record-breaking roller coaster.
Oh.
And it will launch roller coaster. It will launch roller coaster riders from 0 to 78 miles an hour in under 2 seconds.
Oh, I just almost lost my lunch already.
So,
no way.
There's no way for me either. I'd like the teacups give me nausea at Disneyland.
Right. Watching the teacups gives me nausea.
So, what I want to know is, when do you think thrill seekers are going to tap out and say, "Enough's enough here"? Like, I mean, come on, this is a triple record-breaking roller coaster. Shoots you from 0 to 78 in less than 2 seconds.
Well, unless somebody...
Like, what's the limit for these people?
Unless somebody dies, I think there is no limit. If you have people surviving these things, I think there are going to be people who say, yeah, I'm gonna definitely get on that.
We're talking about a 60-mile-per-hour zero-G roll here, though.
I know.
When G-forces come into play, can't you pass out? Who wants to go on that?
But G-forces also happen in your car, too, when you turn, you know.
I understand that, but not 0 to 78.
No. That,
Vomit comets, no
I would
thank
just
you.
Pass up. All right, gut check brought to you by the Joint Chiropractic. The Joint Chiropractic relief on so many levels. Coming up, invest in Ed is dead. Is it because of a poorly worded ballot or politics? Next.